Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Yeah.
Get ready for laughs. Get ready for takes.
So get ready for football. Flying in your effing face. Come on now.
5 seconds.
I got five.
Three.
Four, three, two, one. Bye.
Touchdown. Score. Scoop time.
Boston's home for sports is WBZ-FM and HD Boston. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Beasley Media Group Station. Sports Hub headlines.
Patriots' first day of training camp practice is underway in Foxborough in the rain in front of a large contingent of fans behind Gillette Stadium. ESPN is reporting Matthew Slater has opened up camp on the active physically unable to perform list. The Atlanta Falcons have worked out a deal to increase the salary of Julio Jones for this season. He will report to training camp today. The Athletic reports the team has moved $2 million of his base salary from 2019 to a bonus for this season. Red Sox rained out of their game in Baltimore last night. Two teams will apparently play a day-night doubleheader August 11th. Sox are back home tonight to play Minnesota. Team also made a trade yesterday, getting pitcher Nathan Eovaldi from Tampa Bay for lefty minor leaguer Jalen Beeks. Dave Dombrowski's had his eye on this pitcher for a couple of weeks and then finally got him after a fast negotiation.
I touched base with him a couple of days ago, and they got back to me with some names. And then yesterday, we really started kind of moving it more quickly. So really, it came together very quickly yesterday.
Eovaldi will make his first start in a Sox uniform Sunday against the Twins. Knicks have signed former Celtic guard Kadeem Allen, and point guard Shane Larkin is employed again. He has reportedly signed a one-year contract to play in Turkey next year. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by Kiel Vodka, the first American-made premium light vodka. Smoother, lighter, better-tasting vodka with only 58 calories per serving. Kiel Vodka, stay balanced. I'm John Wallach on Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Artie's here. He's got your next update in 30 minutes.
Make it your home page.
A connection.
98.5thesportshub.com.
The Pats are back on the field. It's training camp with Zolak and Bertrand. Sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Opening day of training camp, and that is where we come to you live today from Foxborough, behind Gillette Stadium, overlooking the practice fields. There has been rain, but now there is sunshine, so the weather is, for the moment, cooperating.
Absolutely.
Here, as we kick off our training camp coverage, and we want to let you know this hour from training camp, also sponsored by and brought to you by Northern Bank. All right, so 2018 has pretty much officially begun.
Time to turn the page, right?
Everybody's, as far as we know, everybody's here. There's no holdouts in this camp.
No.
Everyone's here, is present and accounted for.
Everybody's hustling drill to drill.
They've still got rookies wearing high numbers. Not a fan of that.
Well, 50s and 60s, so get used to it. All the rookies are going to do that.
It looks like 50s are for the rookies.
No, 50s are for drafted rookies. So Sony Michel, so if you're coming down to camp here at Foxborough for the next couple days, Sony Michel will not wear number 51.
But who's in the 60s?
Like Danny Etling wears number 58. He's the eighth draft pick. 60s are unrestricted free agents.
Right.
Undrafted.
Undrafted.
Rookies. 60s will be all your undrafted rookies.
UDFAs.
50s are the guys that are drafted.
Why haven't they given them real numbers?
Well, I think this is sort of like, remember the Titans, Bill Belichick saying, I'm going to take a piece of tape.
You got to earn your number.
Yeah, you got to earn your name.
Earn your number.
This separates rookies from veterans, just to let them know that, hey, let's face it. Camp isn't what camp used to be when it was 2 days, and you're going to come in and get your ass hazed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're sitting there with buzzers just waiting to cut hair. That doesn't happen anymore. You can't haze rookies. This really isn't camp.
I've got to say.
They're not even in full pads.
Every single year, this becomes more apparent right out of the gate.
It's a walkthrough. Glorified walkthrough.
Training camp is not training camp anymore.
Yeah.
It's just not what it used to be.
I don't care.
Certainly isn't what it was when you were playing.
Oh, God, no. God, no. No, and I think that's why some guys have issues nowadays with, you know, guys with the head trauma when you're lining up and you're doing 9-on-7 and you're cracking heads every day. I think that's why some guys are going through what they're going through mentally and they, you know, have a tough time functioning. Not everybody, but a small percentage of the guys that I played with. The rules have changed. And the fun thing is to watch Bill Belichick and his staff adapt, because for Bill, this is 44th camp. And you remember going back, and I remember my dad would take me to St. Vincent's College, and we were just talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers during the break there with Mike Tomlin, and talking about his running backs and how excited he is and how competitive it's going to be. I remember sitting there with my dad, and the Steelers would never have numbers on. So they would always wear black for offense. It would be yellow for the defense. And you would start every practice with the Oklahoma drill. You say, what's the Oklahoma drill, for anybody that's never seen it? You take the big tackling dummies, you line them up in a little strip. You put the ball down in the middle. One guy's on his back. The other guy's on his. You blow a whistle, and then you got to light him up. That's the way you get practice going. Those days are long gone.
Long gone.
Long gone.
There's no contact. None.
It's more of an aerobic practice, so to speak.
It's instructional.
It's just drill to drill. How much can you adapt? How much can you think on the run? Thinking on the fly, right? Get guys tired. Get their legs tired. See if they could listen to signals. They're always constantly moving, trying to line up, get the calls right. Can you make a call? Can you make a tag call on the offensive line? I'm interested to see the line here. I can't wait for this weekend. See how Dante Scarnecchia and his first offensive line group is going to look. A lot of things to talk about as we open camp here.
All right, so things we will focus on during this camp, right? And yeah. I think that's the question. What are people coming down here to look at and watch for as you get ready for this season? I think what you just mentioned, the offensive line, mm-hmm. is going to be a big one. I think that's a big thing to watch in this camp, specifically left tackle with the departure of Nate Solder. How do they fill that void? Is Brown going to be the guy who they plug in and they just go on as if there were no change?
Yeah, that's the story.
How is Tom Brady going to get protected at age 41? That's sort of an important part of this deal and how it all goes throughout camp. And as we talked about yesterday, is anyone else on that line about to be replaced? It's possible.
Yeah.
So offensive line is definitely one of those things to watch. The other thing, offensively, receiver. Receiver is a big one. Losing Amendola, trading away Cooks.
They're going to miss Edelman.
Not having Edelman for four games.
Edelman looks great, by the
way. What you're left with is not very good. Let me amend that. What you have left
is unproven.
Is an unknown.
It's an unproven.
Let's put it that way.
Right.
All right, that's more fair.
Yeah.
It's unknown because I think a lot of us believe Matthews could develop into a guy who makes an impact. But we've been through this so many times with guys who come here as a free agent,
receiver. Not getting fooled.
Who don't do anything and can't adapt or can't fit within the offense. So I approach that one with caution like every other previous receiver.
And you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to show not only me, but you're going to have to show the staff. More importantly, these teammates and, of course, the quarterback. And another big thing to talk about, too, is as we move on week to week here, and it's really a four-week window where you got a chance to say, all right, I'm gonna make the most of my opportunities. I'm going to get these reps. This is where I need to pop. And you better be ready when your number's called because there's no joint practices. I can't recall what it's been the last 4 years, four or five straight years, where they've done the joint practices with at least one team. You don't have any of that. And what they were able to do during joints is take the ones and twos, meaning your starters and guys that are really going to play and pretty much are going to make the football team.
Yep.
And you would get every single one of those important team reps, whether it was 7-on-7, whether it was team, whether it was blitz period. And that's where you would get the bulk of your work. And you were able to construct it from staff to staff and say, okay, this is what we're going to work on. So that when the game started against those joint practice opponents, you're really playing your threes and fours. The ones really didn't play or rep a lot in that game. So it's going to be interesting to see how does Bill and Ernie, and Ernie's a big part of that. Ernie Adams, we talk about Ernie Adams.
He's got his hands on his knees.
It's unbelievable.
That's so
Ernie Adams, at the start of the drill.
So we're on TV. Get up and do
it. Staying, yeah.
Get up and do it.
So Ernie's standing there.
Show everybody.
And he's upright like this, and he's got his arms crossed. The second they break the huddle, he gets on his knees, and he lowers his viewing angle about
maybe
18 inches.
Maybe 15 inches.
15 to 18 inches, if that. So you're like, really, Ernie? It's not like you zoomed in anymore. Yeah. You just went lower. Like, you could see the offensive line.
He's in there, man. He's in there. He's engaged.
So he's got his paper in his back pocket, but he's the guy that helps Bill, you know, really talk about, we need to see this guy, that guy against this situation. We need to rep this guy. Remember when Brissett was here and he saw some of the cut-up stuff and some of the sound FX stuff from camp?
Yeah.
You know, he's like, you know, this is the one where, Bill, where we need to get Jacoby out there. And Bill's like, okay, that's what we're going to do. And you saw Brissett early in that preseason where we were kind of shocked to see him, you know, week two. So if you don't have the joints and you can't get that really controlled look where you're keeping contact out of it is what you're doing, are the ones and twos going to play a lot more this preseason, meaning games two and three, or even one? I think it's really one and three.
All right, so if the ones play more, and that means more of Brady.
Yeah.
That means there's more of an opportunity to what? Get on that same page?
But do you really want that?
In a game-type situation with these receivers?
That's the tough thing, is you got to balance it, because you got to see, okay, let's get out there in the heat of battle. More importantly, can Brown pick up any stunk coming from the backside? Can he hear the call? Can Brady communicate that with them and get on the same page with guys like Matthews and company?
If he can, are we going to go right back to OTAs? Are we going to go right back to missing phase three of OTAs if it takes a while?
No. No, because you need pads. You could sit there and you could do every walkthrough. We could sit there and do drills, and you can line up and throw against air and all that stuff. That's great and all. Yeah, you develop
rhythm and chemistry. But these guys suck for the next 3 weeks. We're going back to that.
You got to be careful of that, because, I mean, I go back to that 07 year when you got Randy Moss, and he looked like crap in the preseason. Like, what'd you go get this guy for? And they went out and blew doors off.
And Randy missed most of that preseason. He didn't play, but I'm saying. Like,
he took five reps that first week, and then you never saw him again.
Right.
We're like, what the hell's he here for?
He wasn't.
And then it was lights out, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another one. Receiver is one to watch.
Yeah.
Offensive line is definitely something to watch develop here throughout camp. The other thing is corner. Malcolm Butler's gone.
Yep.
Still leaves you with Stephon Gilmore, which is, you know, that's not a terrible situation to be left with.
It's something you need to get used to, and it's already hard for me. I look down there and I see 21-21, and I've been so conditioned for the last 4 years. Okay, there's Malcolm Butler. There's my number one corner. I'm going to watch this defense and how they evolve here. It's Daron Harmon wearing number 21.
Yeah.
So he took Malcolm's number. So if you're coming down, get ready for Daron Harmon. He's
Harmon had 30.
21.
Didn't he have another number before 30, too?
He had 30, and I think McCourty's brother took 30.
Right.
So I think
Harmon had another number before he had 30, too. I feel like he's changed his number a few times.
26 or 29?
I think you're right. Yeah, I think he has had, now he's on his third number.
Yeah.
All right, but you've got the addition of Devin McCourty's brother. Jason McCourty is here.
Right.
And you've got the departure of Malcolm Butler. And how do they sort of figure that out? How does that all shake out?
And you could see
who's the second corner, who's the third corner? How does it work?
Yeah, and I mean, we just saw a couple drills already and how they move from drill to drill. You know, and Devin McCourty's the one guy that told me this offseason. He goes, wait until you see Gilmore this year. Wait until you see him with another year under his belt where he understands what we want to do and just the comfort level. And he's always with Devin. It seems like, I don't want to say he's taking over a leadership role, but he's at the front of the line with Devin, and he's moving around like this is his secondary. And that's a big thing. And if you're paying that guy $15 million to cover somebody, and he's a cover guy, it better be a secondary. So
right.
I'm glad to start to see that he's not a guy that's just following the crowd.
Three big ones that we just mentioned. Offensive line, receiver, and the secondary, the departure of Butler. And then I think there's another one that is not all that important, and I think it's going to be just fine, but the running back situation. How does that backfield sort of shake out? Going into the season. How much of an impact can Sony Michel make in year one?
How much does he have to show you that you could say, okay, we could pop a guy like a Jeremy Hill or Mike Gillisley? Because one of those guys, it's going to be odd man out.
Doesn't it feel like Gillisley is sort of marked for that?
Yeah.
Even last season?
Yep. But, again, be careful, because we started
to
think
that. And don't forget Rex
Burkhead. Yeah, well, we know. I think Rex is going to be a big part of what they do, especially with Edelman not being here, because his ability to flex out and catch the ball.
Yes.
These first 4 weeks, I think, are going to be money time for Rex Burkhead, as long as he can stay out there. See, that's the thing. You get Burkhead cranked up and you get him going, all of a sudden, boom, it's a knee. And he had a bad knee injury in Pittsburgh. Or, boom, it's a rib. He got hit by the Saints last year on a nice touchdown catch up the seam. He has the ability to get vertical, and that's something that's good for a back. If it was Deion Lewis or James White, it's usually a quick hitch route, or it's a slant, or it's a little comeback. You know what I'm saying? But Burkhead has the ability, I think, to get some spacing downfield.
All right, so football's back. Training camp underway here in Foxborough, and we're here all day. We're here tomorrow. We're here any day that the Patriots are out there practicing on the field. 617-779-0985. Coming up next, let's talk more about this roster and the changes and some of the new faces that are on the field for the Patriots today. And can you make the case that the Patriots roster now is better than it was when we last saw them when they were competing in the Super Bowl against the Eagles? We'll get to that coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the practice field. Training camp coverage is sponsored by AdCare. Call 1-800-ALCOHOL on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Patriots receivers now. Danny Amendola was really good. Remember how good he was against the Jags in the AFC Championship? He's gone. And Brandon Cooks, he was their deep threat. He's gone. Julian Edelman, he won't play until October. Here's their receiving core now. Kenny Britt had two catches for them last year. Brexton Berrios, a rookie. Julian Edelman off an ACL. Philip Dorsett, who was a bust at Indy. Chris Hogan had 34 whole catches last year. Jordan Matthews, fine. He's like a number four receiver on a good team. And Cordarrelle Patterson, who's a return guy more than a receiver. That's the weakest receiving core Tom Brady's ever had. By the way, they lost running back Deion Lewis. Left tackle Nate Solder. Rebuilding their O-line. Malcolm Butler. So Malcolm Mitchell's now out? I mean, that is a weak, weak receiving core. I mean, who knows if Edelman can play anymore? He's off an ACL. He's an older receiver off an ACL. Look at that receiving core. Busts, has-beens, don't-knows, return guys. God, that's a mess.
Bertrand from training camp in Foxborough today. Patriots out on the field, their first team workout today. 617-779-0985. That was Colin Cowherd talking about the Patriots receiving options heading into the season.
That's right.
And he's not wrong.
No.
I mean, there's really not much there you can debate. Yep, they lost Amendola. Yep, they lost Brandon Cooks. And now Edelman's gone for four games. At a minimum, to start the year. I mean, the other part of this is, who knows what Edelman is on the other side of that suspension? You don't know yet.
He looks like he's the best receiver out there right now. He's cutting out here.
Running against nobody.
Well, no, they were...
As you like to say, against air.
No, they were doing doing combo drills with defensive backs over here, catching post corners and just his ability to plant cut and quickly get out of the crowds going nuts. Every time he touches the ball, people are cheering down here, but like, don't get used to that. You're not going to have him for a month. They're going to tell him, go away. You can't even be near this facility for 30 days.
Do you want an instant camp observation?
Sure.
Watch Etling. He gets that ball out quicker than he ever did at LSU.
Well, you got a guy screaming. You got two guys.
Are you watching this kid?
Yeah. So it's Josh McDaniels, which is this whole Josh thing is going to be fun to watch this preseason.
I just want to say right now, this is not relevant to the conversation we're about to have, but the whole Etling has changed the throwing motion?
Yeah.
Fact. There's truth in that.
Kick and throw.
There's truth in whatever that story was all about.
Remember when we saw Jacoby Brissett and it was the big windup? And I'm like, this kid's never going to be able to play.
Yeah.
He's never going to be able to play. And he just looks slow and deliberate in practice. But, I mean, he's a little bit of a gamer and he got a game situation.
Getting distracted by training camp again.
and he played well, but
Coward's not wrong.
This is what's going to happen.
Coward's not wrong. The roster is not better than it was in the Super Bowl. There's no case to be made that the Patriots roster now is better than it was in the Super Bowl.
The defense is.
Adrian Claiborne?
I mean, you add him, you add...
Return of Dante Hightower, are we going to count that?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to.
Just asking.
$11 million a year player, impact player. That guy won you two Super Bowls at the end of the season. Yes, absolutely. If healthy is a big thing.
Yes.
But you got the advancement of Gilmore, I think. I think they're going to be better in the slot, because you're not going to throw Jordan Batamosi or Jordan Richards out there the way you did Jonathan Batamosi.
Okay.
Or Jordan Richards out there the way you did in the Super Bowl for some unknown reason. They look quicker on the inside because you're going to be more, I don't want to say focused as to what you're going to do. You're not an outside guy, you're an inside guy. McCourty's brother should give you some stability on the other side of Gilmore. Because obviously you got Rowe. Rowe's still out there, so he's competing. He got the start in the damn Super Bowl. They're solid at safety. They're deep. Very deep at safety. They got all three guys, and all three can play. Harmon, McCourty, Chung. All three of those guys can play. And they should be better up front. You better be better up front. Here's your problem, though. When you start to face some of the diverse offenses, and who knows what they're going to be. Houston, week one, speed, right? You got the threat of Deshaun Watson and his ability to run with the football.
Well, you know what? You're reminding me of something. I'm going to play you something that helps your point right now,
okay,
which is part two of Coward,
right,
talking about this very point. Let's hear it, and then we'll get to what you're about to say.
The saving grace for them, in 16 games, they play only five elite quarterbacks. They play Rodgers, Big Ben, I think it's Deshaun Watson. I don't have it in front of me, Andrew Luck. They play five elite quarterbacks out of 16, and their division's still a mess with a bunch of rookie quarterbacks and Ryan Tannehill. And I do think they win the division because they have the best coach and the best quarterback. The thing is, I think they're going to be choppy and uneven. And the AFC, which has been down for 3 years, is better. Deshaun Watson, Houston better. Andrew Luck returns better. Chargers are better as a roster. Jags are better as a roster. Steelers are better as a roster. Houston's better as a roster. Kansas City's better as a roster. I still think they win their division, but I can say this with full confidence. This is not a Super Bowl winning roster. It's just not.
First part was the saving grace, which is the quarterbacks that they face.
And he's talking about on paper, too. But was Alex Smith a great quarterback? Or do you view Alex Smith as a great quarterback?
I do not.
Did Alex Smith do a good job in that opener, finding backs on checkdowns and throwing the ball up the seam?
Yes.
And who was covering him? The linebackers.
Yeah, that's not about your corners. That's not about your secondary.
It's my interior guys, their ability to run and cover guys in tight spaces. You could face the worst quarterback in the leagues that he's talking about. Could be rookies like Josh Allen. But if Josh Allen is 6'7" and he's from Buffalo and he's going to sit there in the pocket, and you got a pretty quick back that can run one of those little angle routes right in front of a backer, and you could throw that. I could still throw that at 50. That's an easy completion. Can these linebackers get to these backs and these tight ends on drag routes? Pittsburgh's got a good tight end. They got good backs that can run. They understand the offense. Le'Veon Bell, can you shrink that window to make the throw more complicated for these young quarterbacks? And that's what they need to figure out.
Who are really the elite quarterbacks they have this year? Deshaun Watson? I'll give him that.
When he's healthy.
Look at the way he played here a year ago.
Another year with Billy O'Brien. He's elite.
Look at the way he played here.
Yep.
Okay, that's
Aaron Rodgers.
Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, I'd put him in there.
Okay,
sure.
Because you sort of got to reach. I mean, you want to count Andrew Luck.
Great. Ball's coming out. Stafford can throw it, man. The guy can spin it.
I don't know what Andrew Luck is right now.
But
I have no idea.
But it's his offense. It's, you know, he's been there for a bunch of years now. It's not like he's going to be like, I'm thinking I'm going to throw the ball late here.
Deshaun Watson is week one.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford is week three.
You remember Pennington later in his career, how his shoulder was bum, but he had to throw it to anticipate.
He used to put that thing into windows that you wouldn't believe.
And he would anticipate and throw. See, Luck has to get to that point.
It would drive you insane.
And he's smart enough. And
wouldn't
he's
it drive you
enough.
Nuts watching Pennington?
The ball would hang and float.
Carve up the Patriots with that little crappy floater that he could just pinpoint.
Absolutely.
So that is, okay, week one, Watson. Week three is Stafford. Week five is Andrew Luck.
See, even Bortles. I mean, look at that AFC Championship.
You're not counting Bortles. Yeah, we're not counting Bortles, though.
I'm talking about the problem area that I look at this defense, the ability of the linebackers to run in coverage.
So then maybe we shouldn't be looking at the elite quarterbacks who make the big throws down the field.
Well, that's outside. What do you think? Aaron Rodgers is going to want to dink and dunk you to death? Nah, he's looking to stretch, man.
No, I get that. But if you're saying your concern is the linebackers, then maybe the concern should not be about going up against top quarterbacks.
It's part of it.
Yeah. So if you're making that case, then we got a lot to be concerned with this team, because there's a lot of guys who are going to dink and dunk.
Yeah,
welcome
to training camp
on this schedule. Yeah.
Hey, who's your defensive coordinator? It is Flores, right? I mean, we think. Where's Belichick right now?
I don't know.
He's on the defensive side of the field, helping that guy out.
A big tarp. We lost all of our visuals.
You know what? That's another thing they need to get to is, does Flores have the ability to respond to Belichick and give it back to Belichick the way Patricia did?
His tarp is in
Patricia was here forever. You know, Patricia was here forever. So there was a give and go with him and Belichick. Flores has got to get to that level, and it's got to happen quickly. And it's got to happen organically.
It's a giant baggie.
Yeah.
Is what we have.
It's nice.
It reminds me of like the Metrodome.
You know what these things make too?
In Minnesota, like the big baggies in the outfield.
They make good slip and slides. You know, if you want a really good, you know, you go and you buy these slip and slides for your kids, and they come in a box. It's like $28, and they give you these little things that you got to pin into the ground. You end up tearing a slide, right? Get these suckers. Get your hose out. Get some nails. Hammer it down. Get some stakes.
Some nails.
Stakes in the ground. Stake it down. Get out the Dawn liquid soap. Soap that thing up, and you got a slip and slide. Now, that's a real slip and slide.
But try and do it. Try and make the case that it's a better roster. I think that's a hard case to make. I don't think you can. I'm going to disagree with that.
No, on paper, right
they
now.
They got to do more with less.
On paper, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why you have this coach. That's why you have this quarterback.
Now, granted, they're going from a roster that was in the Super Bowl and should have won the Super Bowl. So you're not starting in a bad spot.
No.
That should be noted. That's right. A very important note to make. But I don't think it's the same roster they had a year ago.
Right.
So with the best coach and the best quarterback, you can many times make up for a slight decrease in roster talent. Yeah, that's why I don't get why Coward's writing them off.
You get that?
It's just not a Super Bowl. Well,
you forget about the consolation.
I'll tell you this: we've seen worse rosters than this win Super Bowls.
Right. Well, the consolation prize—you have Tom Brady, right? Even though you don't have Jimmy Garoppolo, consolation prize is you get the league MVP back.
Yes,
so that helps.
It feels like a consolation prize to Bill Belichick because he's devastated by the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo.
Unfortunately,
he has the league MVP and the best quarterback ever to sort of fall back on.
I walked in today. One of the first people I see in the building asked me, hey, when you left here, did Pete Carroll text you? Did Pete Carroll text you when you went to Miami?
What'd you say?
I'm like, no.
Not even Pete
Carroll.
Why
are you asking me that?
You've been surfing, I've been surfing.
Now, he would leave me messages.
He doesn't have crap with you now.
He would leave me messages of the doors cranking in the background. I'm going surfing in that, man. Yeah.
I'm going surfing.
Yeah.
I'm out here in California,
Yeah. You'd love it, man. Pacific Coast Highway. Driving with the top down. Oh, man, poor Sean McVay. Hey, man, you see Cookie? He's so fast on that smoke route, strike route.
617-779-0985. Let's do this. We're live at training camp at Foxborough. We're talking football, and obviously you guys want to talk football as well. Let's do that with you coming up after these
calls next.
This is your home for every Patriots game. Patriots game live from training camp. Sponsored by AdCare. 1-800-ALCOHOL. It's Solak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
So with regards to Josh, obviously people are saying he's taking the Colts job. How much of a bump is that for you to be able to get him back on the staff and in the same role?
I've had a long relationship with Josh and a good one. I think he's a great coach. I love working with Josh.
What sort of role did you play in bringing him back?
Yeah, you'd have to talk to Josh about Josh's situation, his decision-making and all that. That's a question for him. I can't answer that.
All right, that is Josh McDaniels. That is Bill Belichick talking about Josh McDaniels this morning in that second part there from Mike Giardi. NBC Sports Boston was one role that Brady.
Are we allowed to talk to Josh? Can we ask Josh that?
Well, maybe. He can talk. He's a big boy.
Capello, get him when you go down there.
Yeah, put in a request.
Yeah, sweater boy.
Yeah, for the Patriots offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels. He's no stranger to the show.
No, he loves the show.
He's a friend of the show.
Wife listens to the show, too. I'll do. So does Slepinski's, the other quarterback coach.
I have heard.
They got two quarterback coaches.
They got a lot of people in this organization.
Three quarterbacks, two quarterback coaches. That's good hands-on stuff right there, man.
Yeah.
That's what you want
when
you go
to school. Well, I'd like to say hello to Mrs. McDaniels. Glad to have you here.
Hi, guys. Hopefully they're watching.
You're here.
They're probably watching home.
Probably downstairs. It could be downstairs today.
Not day one.
No. It's for rookies.
We'll see you day three.
Day one. We'll see you like once or twice.
Remember Vince Wilfork's wife used to come in every practice?
Dedicated.
Oh, like he just checked in yesterday.
But that second part, Brady, you know, what's the role? I don't know. Go ask Josh. Josh can tell you about that. Like, no, I don't think they were talking about convincing him. It was, did Brady go to the owner and tell him to make sure that he re-upped Josh and gave him a new contract and kept him here? If you were Tom Brady, would you do that?
I would like that, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If you're him and you're in his spot.
Well,
take all the other stuff out of it. Take the relationship with him and the head coach and the, you know, friction or rift or whatever it's been, even if none of that existed, even if Tom Brady had a great relationship right now with Bill Belichick and everybody was in a great mood, why would he not still want to keep an offensive coordinator that he's worked with for
look how productive he is
how
late,
many
late
years
in
of
his
career
you're gonna back down your career and you got the most productive handler
and it's one of his personal
understanding of your offense
right he's more than just his you know guy he works with they're friendly.
But you got to be like that.
They have a strong relationship, a strong working relationship. Why would you not want to keep that guy around at whatever cost?
You got to have that guy. And we had that guy in Chris Palmer. And Bledsoe needed Palmer because Palmer was the buffer. Because we had Ray Perkins as offense coordinator.
Yeah.
And Parcells was so overbearing. And sometimes Drew, early in his career, didn't deal well with that. And if you didn't have Chris Palmer to talk Drew off the ledge and have me in there to keep the damn room, have to call it what you want, a little light in there.
Oh, you keep the room light, huh?
A little bit. Just a little bit. It's like I do on a show, right? Like part of the reason of being on a show is like, yeah, I'm entertaining. You gotta have some sort of a delicate balance there, and I think Brady needs that. I mean, Brady's in a different part, too, where you know, obviously you can't – like Drew is at least able to go out and do things. I don't think Brady's at a stage where, given who he's married to, you know, being out in public with her,
yeah,
you got to be real selective as to what you do and where you're seeing. You pretty much go into privacy and to the properties that you own, right? You go to Costa Rica, you go to Montana, you go to L.A., you go to where I can only go and hang out at my place, you know?
Yep.
Why is Brady like Halloween? Because he gets to dress up like Batman and no one has a clue who he is because he's in costume. And he could actually function like a normal parent.
617-779-0985. Let's go to your phones. Cam's in Taunton. Cam, what do you got for us today?
What's up?
How's it going today, guys? First of all, happy training camp. Always a great day. Just want to say this question for you, Zoe. How much longer do you think Scar is going to be around? I mean, man just retired a couple of years ago. They brought him back because of that debacle in Denver in that AFC title game. He's 70 years old. I mean, he's obviously in great. I mean, he's in as good a shape as some of the age I've ever seen. Do you think he's a package deal with Bill? Do you think he goes when Bill goes, or do you think he hangs around with Josh?
I think he's year to year. I really do. I think they leave it up to him, you know, how you're feeling mentally. He got away from football for a little bit. He was doing so much consulting work that you're in the building every day, and it's the old adage, hey, if I'm shopping for the groceries with you, let me cook the dinner a little bit. You know, and I think that got his juices flowing to get back into it. And I think Scar understands he's going to be in it a third contender. So I think the second they don't become a contender, I think that's when he steps out and backs away.
That's in a lot of ways, the time off for him where he wasn't the coach.
It's a Brady window. Like,
the time off where he wasn't the coach and he was not on the staff.
He's still here. He's still helping them pick guys.
I know that he was here. I know that he was still you know, going out and working guys out with the draft. But the time off that he did have, time off in quotes, it's probably going to keep him around longer than he would have ever been around.
Right.
Because he had a taste of what it was like to not be doing this.
You got a little refresher and there.
Recharge the batteries. Right. And, oh, by the way, I can't stand not being a football coach. I'm going to do this forever. As long as you can physically do it. Right?
See, that's interesting you say that. So if that works with a guy like Skarnecki, and that's going to somehow extend his coaching career because you got to step away.
Oh, I think it probably already has.
Does Bill look at that and say, okay, it works that way for my coaches.
Oh.
If my tight end and my quarterback this late in their career, and I'm so okay with it being voluntary because I know.
I get what you're saying.
My point is, he doesn't have to worry about Dante. Dante is game. Best detailed coach.
Are you hitting on what I think you're hitting on, which is he looks at Dante and says, well, I don't want to do what he did. He retired and he hated it. I'm just like him.
Yeah.
I'm a football lifer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to retire.
Yeah.
And I'm going to keep going until I can't do it anymore or they kick me out of here.
And plus, maybe it's working for the quarterback and tight end. They come back to refresh. Brady's Instagramming videos of him, you know, ziplining through trees, coming in hot. He's ready to go. He's hustling out here drill to drill. He looks ready to go. Brady looks different out here than he does in minicamp. There's a different pep in his step.
Let's go to Brendan, who's in Foxborough today. Brendan.
How you doing, guys?
Hi, Brendan.
Just wanted to let you guys know, I am so sick of the whining about the wide receivers because we have an absolute superstar on the roster, and his name is Cordarrelle Patterson. I guarantee a 1,000-yard season out of this guy.
What leads you to believe that?
He went to the University of Tennessee.
Oh, that's a good reason why.
Go Vols.
Yeah.
Volunteers. How's T. Martin doing? Is he still playing in the league?
1,000-yard receiving for Cordarrelle Patterson.
Did Willie Gault go there too? Willie Gault went to Tennessee, right?
That's a bold prediction. Yeah. It's a bold one. Good luck with that. You know what, Brendan? Call us back.
If it happens,
we'll be waiting for you.
I'll pound the under on that one.
I'll take the under as well.
Under, Hardy.
Ken in Sudbury. Ken.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Love the show, and I'm glad.
I went to Sudbury.
Wrong hey, Ken. Guys. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey.
Morning.
Love the show, and glad you guys got the simulcast. I'm only sad that we're moving to Texas, and I won't be able to watch it. So
you can hit us on the app.
You can get that sports package down there in Texas.
Pound that app.
You can get us down there.
You can hear us on the app.
Yeah, well, I'll listen on the app. I just won't be able to see Thank the TV, you. See your beautiful face. Loved watching you play both games.
He said those two games?
He said both games.
Both games? I thought he said those games. He said those.
I think he said both.
He said those.
I think he said both. Yeah.
Did you say those or both, Ken?
Both. He said both.
Yeah, I said both.
There were those two big ones.
There are two big ones. AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Like twice.
That's it. I want to bet both weeks. But,
Colts was one. What was the other one? The Colts?
San Francisco.
Colts and Niners, right.
San Francisco. That's right. Hey, about Belichick, right after the Super Bowl, I called in. I'm sure you guys don't remember. You had a bunch of pissed off people. But I called in and said I thought this was going to affect them in free agency. And I'm just curious, though, what do you think about the fact that there aren't a lot of even second-tier players lining up to say, we want to come play for the Patriots? I just wonder if Belichick's Butler decision hasn't blown past the locker room into all of free agency. I mean, people don't want to come play here because – they're not sure how he's going to treat victory versus his hardline military approach.
Right. But okay, I look at last year and the way they approached last year. They traded number one over. They traded their first round pick for Brandon Cooks. They got into free agency day one. They paid Gilmore. That's stuff that's not the norm for them. And ultimately it didn't work. I think what they did this year, got back to basics. We're going to draft a tackle. We're going to draft a guard.
Right.
We're going to draft a cornerstone for our line for the next 8 years. We're going to draft a pretty damn good running back and see where it goes. We're going to add that to the mix. How many spots are open here for free agents?
How many guys they go after that they didn't get?
Yeah, they're not going after the top-tier free agents.
There's anyone there.
So, I mean, most spots are taken other than, like, tackle. I mean, backside tackle.
Yeah,
all the spots are full.
We are here in Foxborough all day. We are covering training camp all day. We're going to hear from Rob Gronkowski, I'm told, next hour.
Yep.
We're also going to hopefully have a player talk to us directly at some point after practice ends. And coming up next, we will take a brief detour and check in on the Red Sox and their situation Aww. With a game last night and also Ooh. A trade yesterday. We will do that with Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air,
balls everywhere,
you should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Can you say if you were in on the Zach Britton talks?
Well, we talked to them. And I guess that's all I would say. I mean, I think some of the part of it, we really like this fit for us.
The ball?
Yes.
Okay.
Did you say you felt like you had the power to make that trade if
yes,
you wanted
we did.
To?
Yes, we did.
So you say you like the Valdi. Did you feel kind of like that this was the priority, the getting that this the starter over the
We road? Thought, well, I mean, I don't mean to downplay because he's a very good pitcher, yeah. But for us, we think the fit was better to get someone like this.
Zolak and Bertrand from training camp in Foxborough. Time for a quick detour. Check in on the Red Sox. That's Dave Dombrowski from pregame last night after sure. making the deal for Nathan Eovaldi.
The GM?
That's the president of baseball operations wow. for the Boston Red Sox.
So you found the one baseball person that thinks this is a better fit for the Red Sox than acquiring Zach Britton.
Well, he's the guy calling the shots. And let's check in with a guy who calls shots of his own. That's Jared Carabas of Barstool Sports. Jared.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hi.
How you
nice,
been?
Nice to talk to you again.
Hi.
Hi. Do you agree or disagree with Dave Dombrowski that Zach Britton would have been a worse fit than Nathan Eovaldi?
It's a weird way of wording it. Obviously, Zach Britton's the better pitcher, but you have to look at what the Yankees have to deal with and what the Red Sox have to deal with. And you weren't going to get a Zach Britton for a Jalen Beeks. Like, Jalen Beeks has good minor league numbers, but you saw what he did at the major league level. Wasn't very impressive. So you kind of look at the Red Sox rotation here. You have Chris Sale. You have Rick Porcello. You have David Price. And then after that, you have a bunch of guys who can be good at times, but on average are going to give you, what, five, maybe six innings? And Eovaldi's a guy that regularly pitches six plus innings. So I think that's kind of what they're looking at here is, you know, you get a guy that can go deep into starts beyond just the top three, which I think was necessary. And I think that you can, if you need a left-handed reliever who's pretty good, I still think that you can get one without having to give up the type of package that the Yankees gave up for Britton.
Is this a direct reaction to the second consecutive worst, really bad start by Drew Pomeranz?
I think it's Pomeranz. Right? I think it's wondering what you're going to get from, because the whole thing with Eddie Rodriguez too is he might be able to come back, but how many times have we seen this guy get hurt, and when he comes back, he's not even close to the same pitcher right. that he was before he got hurt. And then Stephen Wright, you know, God knows what that dude's deal is. I mean, I didn't think that he would be out for this long, but you know, the longer it goes, the less hopeful I am that he's going to be able to contribute either. So yeah, I think it was necessary, not just because Pomeranz is terrible at baseball, but because the rest of the guys around him don't know what they're going to get health wise.
It feels to me like Drew Pomeranz is once again, or is now officially, your punching bag.
Oh yeah, thank God. I was too happy around here. I like being able to you know, be positive about this team, but Drew Pomeranz, I described him as a guy whose face constantly looks like his dog just died and he's trying to figure out how to explain it to his kids.
How's your boy Joe Kelly doing?
Not great. Not great, though. I'll be honest, it's been about a month or two where he just it's I don't know what the deal is, because it's not like there's been a dip in velocity. I think I heard Alex Cora was talking about how his fastball is sinking. Yeah. I honestly couldn't explain it.
His ERA is 12. His ERA is 12.
Joe Kelly turned back into Joe Kelly. This is who he is. Inconsistent, up and down.
Way to look for a reliever. I mean, I'm not trying to defend Joe Kelly. He's been bad, but ERA is not a metric that you should look at to evaluate a reliever, because they're pitching one inning at a time, and you have one bad outing, and that skews the whole thing. So I would look more at WHIP. You know, limiting the number of base runners that he's allowing and the strikeouts for nine innings. And, yeah, that hasn't been good either. But I don't know if it's a huge problem, because they've kind of just had this interchangeable bunch. You didn't go into the season depending on Joe Kelly to be your eighth inning guy. Alex Cora has kind of operated this bullpen as whoever's hot, that's the guy that's filling the bridge to Kimbrel. Right now, Joe Kelly's not hot.
Yeah, and Alex Cora is at a loss in terms of how to get him back to what he's, you know, what they expect him to be, which I think if you expect him to be what he was in the early part of this season, you're going to be left disappointed more times than not with Joe Kelly. Mm-hmm. What do you make of last night in Baltimore with the game getting canceled?
I mean, I don't think they ever should have started the game in the first place. But I did see that basically 20 minutes after they called that game,
it cleared.
It stopped raining, and it didn't rain again for the rest of the night. So I don't know. I mean, it seems, I don't want to say fishy, because Buck Showalter will take any chance that he can to kind of stick it to the Red Sox. But I don't blame, you know, the guys like Alex Cora and David Price, all those guys in there who were kind of upset that they even started the game in the first place, if they were going to call it, two innings into it.
Yeah, but if you're Baltimore, I mean, you're 42 games back, you're just trying to get games in and get them over with, right?
Right, yeah, but I think, you know, there's definitely an element of Buck Showalter wanting to be like, oh, you're up 5-0. No, your best players all hit home runs tonight. That'd be a shame if those went away.
Yeah, I mean, once it starts, though, it's in the hands of the league. So
yeah,
it's
not like the team. It's a league call.
But pushing to have that game happen last night could have been part of it. I just think that someone has to recognize that game was not going to be played if they wanted to start it at the normal start time, at the scheduled start.
Because the Red Sox have never opened up the gates for concessions or anything during rain and rain days.
I feel like they've been. That
was years
about
ago. That was the Laquino era.
I feel like it's gotten a lot better on that front.
They did.
I just don't understand why they even played, why they bothered playing that game last night. Just doesn't make any sense. Jared, how do you feel, before we let you go, how do you feel about the direction of the New York Yankees right now, and do you feel like they are spiraling?
It's been a real shame to watch those Yankees, because, I was assigned to covering the Tampa Bay Rays for the last three games here, and the Yankees didn't hit any home runs. And that's kind of what they built their offense on, is hitting home runs. And it's been tough, Beal. You know, I hate to see guys like that struggle.
All right, Jared. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Always good to have you.
Miss you guys.
Jared Carrabas.
Jared.
Barstool Sports.
See you, buddy.
With us on the Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand. The Yankees. That's real shame to have to watch.
Is that a quick hang-up? Did he forget where he started?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Never forget your roots.
Yeah, big
man.
Star now.
Yeah.
Right?
Think he's lifting with his legs yet, or it's just all upper body still?
I don't know, man. I don't know. He's got such a busy schedule. Yeah. He's got so much going on in his life. I don't know. I can't honestly answer that question. Let's jump back to Dave Dombrowski quickly. We will do that after these headlines, because I found that answer last night to be insane. Dave Dombrowski,
he's the only one saying that.
Dave Dombrowski's answers pregame about the trade. We'll get to that coming up in 90 seconds after these headlines with Hardy.